children of Israel, after 400 years of Egyptian bondage, has been led out of Egypt. They've crossed the Red Sea. They've crossed the Jordan River. And they're now on the doorstep of Jericho. So that's where we're going to pick up. They're right on the doorstep of Jericho, about to enter here. And, of course, they are faced with a wall of a problem. Amen? Yeah. A wall of a problem. The Bible says in verse 1, now Jericho was straitly shut up. It was secured. It was fortified because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. So the reputation of the people of God had preceded them. They had went before them. Those within the confines of Jericho had heard about the people of God, and they were very fearful and frightened. Therefore, they had fortified themselves in. They had built walls here to keep themselves safe and secure. Amen. But the Bible says in verse 2, and the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given unto thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. And you shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go around about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And the 7th day you shall compass the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat. Yeah. And the people shall ascend up every man straight before him. And Joshua the son of Nun called the priest and said unto them, take up the ark of the covenant, and let 7 priests bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord. And he said unto the people, pass on and compass the city, and let him that is armed pass on before the ark of the Lord. And it came to pass, when Joshua had spoken unto the people, that the 7 priests, bearing the 7 trumpets of the ram's horns, passed on before the Lord and blew with the trumpets, and the ark of the covenant of the Lord followed them. So you see a procession here, the lineup, if you would, with the armed men in front, the 7 priests with the ram's horns, and then behind them there's the priests carrying the ark, and then the people there in the rear. And the Bible says in verse 8, and it came to pass when Joshua had spoken unto the people that the 7 priests bearing the 7 trumpets of ram's horns passed on before the Lord and blew with the trumpets, and the ark of the covenant of the Lord followed them. And the armed men went before the priest that blew with the trumpets, and the rearward came after the ark, the priests going on and blowing with the trumpets. And Joshua had commanded the people, saying, you shall not shout, nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day I bid you shout, then shall ye shout. So the ark of the Lord compassed the city, going about it once. And they came into the camp and lodged in the camp. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priests took up the ark of the Lord, and 7 priests bearing 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord went on continually and blew with the trumpets. And the armed men went before them, but the rearward came after the ark of the Lord, the priests going on and blowing with the trumpets. And the 2nd day they compassed the city once and returned into the camp. So they did 6 days. And it came to pass on the 7th day that they rose early about the dawning of the day and compassed the city after the same manner 7 times. Yeah. Only on that day they compassed the city 7 times. And it came to pass at the 7th time, when the priests blew with the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, shout, for the Lord hath given you the city, and the city shall be accursed, even it and all that are therein, to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. And ye in any wise keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest ye make yourselves accursed when you take of the accursed thing, and make the camp of Israel accursed and trouble it. But all the silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. And verse 20, so the people shouted when the priests blew with the trumpets. And it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet and the people shouted with a great shout that the wall fell down flat.
Amen.
So that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city.
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for this time together. Thank you for your word. Thank you for this time that we can rally around your word. And we trust now that you would give us the unction, the anointing that we need. Help us, I pray, God, to be used according to your will. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thank you so much. It was here recently that I found myself in one of those battles, one of those struggles, one of those valleys, one of those times when you get weary. Y'all know what I'm talking about? When you just get tired, you know, we are human. We battle this old flesh daily, and it seems as though that I was going through a season and a time to where I was doing and I was going and I was doing and I was going, and it's like I couldn't see myself getting anywhere. And I remember specifically I was driving down the road. I was headed to the hospital to make some visits, and I kind of in my mind was kind of telling the Lord, you know how sometimes we complain? Do y'all do that?
Amen.
Oh, man, we need to have an altar call right now. Amen. Sure we do. Sometimes we just kind of get down, and sometimes we want to grumble and we want to mumble about things and murmur about things and complain about things, and sometimes we just kind of get overwhelmed and we get a bit discouraged and a bit troubled, you know. I can kind of remember just kind of speaking out verbally to the Lord, and I said, Lord, I'm just tired. I feel as though I'm just walking in circles. Have you ever been there? And at the moment I said that, the moment it rolled off of my tongue, out of my mouth, Lord, I feel like I'm just walking in circles, the Holy Spirit immediately took me to Joshua chapter 6.
Yeah.
And boy, I just began to weep. I just began to cry. And it was like the Lord just spoke to my heart and said, just keep walking. Just keep walking. I want to preach for just a few moments tonight on walking in circles. We find that the Israelites here were facing a wall of a problem, but God told them to walk in circles for a period of time.
Yeah.
To walk in circles.
Amen.
You know, what I would like for us to do is I want us to view the walls of Jericho tonight as obstacles or maybe some challenge in our life, maybe a battle that we're facing. Maybe it's a specific ministry. Maybe it's that of a loved one that we've been praying for that's lost. Maybe it's a sickness. Maybe it's a financial. Maybe it's a marital. Whatever it may be, if we could for a few moments just picture the walls of Jericho that's standing between us and that blessing that God would like for us to have. That place that we're trying to get to with the Lord. And it just could be something personal, something between you and the Lord that you're just seeking after and you're searching over. So with the Lord's help tonight, I want to preach on this thought of walking in circles. We talked this morning about aligning the mind with the time and getting the mind in line with the time. So now I want us to think about our walk. Now that we've got things set right within our minds and in our hearts, now what about the walk? What about the walk that we're going to make? How they walked. I thought about this when I went back to this passage after the Holy Spirit reminded me about the children of Israel and how they were just walking in circles for a period of time. I went back and I looked at this again and I began to think now, how were they walking? It wasn't just any walk. I mean, they were walking in circles, but they were doing so much more. There's a whole lot more here than just walking in circles, because God was in the midst there, and God was doing something with his people, and God was teaching his people something, and God was showing his people something. And I'm telling you, he really showed me something at that moment in time and season in my life. And I'm sure you've been there. If not, you hold on, because you'll get there sooner or later. And you got to face some times when you're going to feel as though you're just walking in circles, up, you're just spinning your wheels, or you just don't feel as though you're getting anywhere. I mean, you're coming to church, you're reading your Bibles, you're knocking on doors, you're serving the Lord, and you're doing all these things, but you feel like the ministry, your life, your walk, your relationship, those prayers that you're praying, you just seems as though that they're just simply not getting answered. But I want to tell you tonight, keep walking. Amen. Just keep walking. Amen. And I believe there's a lesson for us here about how we walk. See, the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 4 and verse number 26, Proverbs chapter 4 and 26, to ponder the path of thy feet and let all thy ways be established. Ponder the path of thy feet. So let's ponder the path of the feet of the children of Israel and how they walked in circles, so that we may examine and ponder and take knowledge of our walk with the Lord and the things that we're facing. Let us ponder for a few moments tonight. The first thing that I take note of here when I look at this passage here in Joshua chapter 6, I want you to notice what the Bible says in verse number 2. And the Lord said, and the Lord said unto Joshua. Think about that. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given into thine hand Jericho.
That's right.
And the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor. So number one, when we feel as though we're walking in circles, when we get to that place and position in our life that we feel as though that there's nothing happening and we're just not getting anywhere, we need to be reminded about this. The Lord said. What the Lord has said. What God has spoken. And God's word is eternal. God's word is without error. God's word is without any mistake. God's not going to back up, apologize, or alter, or change his word. His word is forever settled in heaven. So what I'm trying to say is this, is that as they walked, they were not walking for victory. They were walking in victory. See, Jericho had already been promised. And the Lord said, God had already promised and given to his people. It was just a matter of time. And I'm telling you, sometimes we walk in defeat. Sometimes we walk as though we're just so deflated and distressed and dismayed. But sometimes we need to stop and think, wait a minute. It may be that we're walking in circles, but as we walk in circles, we're going to walk in victory, not for victory, but in victory, because in Jesus Christ, there is victories. Listen, I'm telling you, we are winners either way, regardless what the circumstances may be, regardless how big the obstacle may be, regardless how great the wall may be, and we'll get there in just a moment. We are walking in victory. We already have the victory. The victory's already been won. Who won that, preacher? Jesus at Calvary. The sin debt has already been paid. The Bible's clear in Revelation that Jesus holds the keys of death, hell, and the grave. He's got the keys in one hand. He's got us in his other hand. Amen. I'm telling you, we can walk in victory. I'm so thankful for that, aren't you? I'm glad. Notice what the Bible says in verse 4 and 5. And seven priests shall bear before the ark seven trumpets of ram's horns. The seventh day you shall compass the city seven times, and the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall flat. And the people shall descend up every man straight before him. Again, God is telling Joshua and the children of Israel what's going to happen and what's going to take place. Amen. But you know what I found interesting when I began to think about this? Is he talks about the ram's horns. Now, if you study your scriptures, I know you know them well. I know amongst a lot of Bible students tonight, there's two trumpets in the Bible. There's the silver trumpet and there's the ram's trumpet. The silver trumpet is for a call to arms, if you would. It's a call to battle. So when the silver trumpet would be blown, the shofar, then that means the people are to gather for battle, for war. It's time to fight.
Come on, man.
But when the ram's horn is blown, when the ram's horn is picked up, it's a horn of celebration.
Come on.
See, God had told the priests, pick up the ram's horn. Bring the ram's horn. Leave the silver trumpet horn. I got this here. The battle's the Lord. I got this here. Pick up the ram's horn because, listen, it's celebration time. It's celebration time. It's worship time. Amen. I'm telling you, the children of Israel was already promised. And listen, the victory had already been won. God had already spoken. It has already been settled. And how this applies to the New Testament church, to the child of God, to the Christian tonight, is the fact, like I preached this morning, is at Calvary, Jesus paid the price. Amen. On the third day, he arose. Amen. The tomb is empty. We have victory in Jesus. Amen. Christ, and thank God for that. Amen.
Amen.
You think about what the Bible says in Romans chapter number 8, verses 35 through 39. Romans 8, 35 through 39. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written.
Go ahead.
As it is written, just as God spoke in Joshua chapter 6.
Yeah.
God has written and spoken it unto us. For thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 57, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the Savior of his knowledge by us in every place.
Yeah. Yeah.
Listen, we are to walk in victory.
Amen.
That's something we really need to let settle in our hearts tonight. We're not walking for the victory. We're walking in victory. Jesus has already done enough. He's already paid the ultimate price. The old account has been settled. It is well with our souls tonight. If you're saved, amen?
Amen.
If you're saved, it is well with your soul.
Amen.
We're going to walk. How are we going to walk? We're going to walk in victory. I want you to notice this number two. Notice verse 3. Not only did they walk in victory and they had the ram's horn, that's the horn of celebration because they were about to celebrate. So they're going to walk in victory. But the Bible says again in verse number 3 of Joshua chapter 6, and you shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go around about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. There was the instructions. There was the commandment that was given by God. God says, this is what I'm going to give you. And this is what you're going to do. So the second thing is they had to walk in patient obedience. Patient obedience. Notice, He didn't say it was going to happen the first day around. Not the second day around, not the third day around. He said, but you're going to walk around once for 6 days. And then on the seventh day, you're going to walk around seven times. And then he told them how to line them up. We already covered that.
Yeah.
Where to put the priests, where to put the Ark of the Covenant, where to put the rest of the people out. So there was clear, precise commandments, instructions of God.
Amen.
As to how they were to walk.
Amen.
And then it was up to the people to walk in patient obedience. I think oftentimes the reason why we don't see the walls before us fall, the reason why we don't experience the fullness of God's blessings sometimes in our life, the reason why we don't connect with him in fellowship like we should, and that intimate relationship and that closeness, is because we fail to be obedient.
Amen.
Obedience.
Amen.
How important obedience is.
Yes.
How critical it is. Now, of course, I want you to think about this. How intimidating that wall must have been to them.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe that's our problem sometime, and I'm saying our problems, is that we look at circumstances and issues and problems, and we think there's just no way. I know sometimes I'm guilty but then I stop and think, wait a minute, God the creator of heaven and earth, God that stepped out of nowhere and stood on nothing and spoke it into existence.
Amen.
I mean, just think about that. He called H over here and called O over here and two over here and brought them together. Amen. That's the God I'm preaching about.
Amen.
The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
Yeah.
God Almighty.
Amen.
I mean, I'm talking about the Most High God.
Yeah.
Think about it tonight for just a moment. Is there anything too big or too hard for God?
Go ahead, man.
Can you just imagine? They say after the archaeology, that's a hard word. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Those people that dig, you know. They have went back and they have dug and they have dug up and they have found the evidence of Jericho and the walls. And they say that there's actually, it was like a double wall that where they had fortified the city, and that it began with like a lower wall, and then it was an upward slope, and then there was an upward wall. And they say that there's somewhere from what they estimated from their findings here, and I'll be careful, I'm going to stay with the scriptures, but I'm just trying to make a point. Is that they estimated to be those walls to be somewhere between 20 and 25 feet thick.
Yeah.
And the height of those walls, I mean, if you go back to Deuteronomy, I found this just recently. I didn't even think about it, but I found it in Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 28. Whither shall we go up was the question the people of God was asking here. Our brethren have discouraged our hearts, saying the people is great and taller than we. Listen to this. The cities are great and walled up to heaven. You think about the height of these walls and the thickness of these walls and the way that they were designed and the multitude of people that was there in the city of Jericho and the children of Israel, and how intimidating that must have been to them. And you know, and they had weapons.
Yeah, come on.
But we know from the scriptures not a shot was fired.
Amen.
Not one shot, not one arrow.
Amen.
But the walls came down and the people of God went in.
Amen.
I tell you, how did they do that? How did they accomplish that? Simply by walking in circles and in patient obedience.
Yes.
Following the instruction and commands of God.
Yeah.
Do you ever feel like sometimes that you've got a wall of a problem in your life, and the Spirit of God slides up beside you and say, just pray about it? You like, oh, Lord, I want to do something else. Lord, I need to do something else. And the Spirit of the Lord says, just pray about it. Or the Spirit of the Lord says, just go to church.
Come on.
Why don't you go to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, revival service meetings, men's fellowship, ladies meeting.
Come on.
BBS, watch out, boy.
Come on.
Think about it, though. Sometimes the simple things that the Spirit of God moves us to do, which is always in perfect harmony with the Word of God.
Amen.
It's always biblical. It may even be the tithing. It's biblical.
Preach.
What in the world, preacher, has this problem got to do with my pocketbook? Sometimes it's just obedience.
Amen.
It's just obedience. God is trying to teach and show us something.
Amen.
Just obey the Lord. Follow the Spirit of God. Mind the Spirit of God. Do what the Bible says, even if it seems strange, even if the problem seems so intimidating. Just trust God with
Amen.
It. He is able to do all things.
Amen.
The only thing He's asking us to do is to obey.
Yes.
Trust and obey.
That's right.
And boy, if we would just learn to do that.
Amen.
There's lots of scriptures, but I'm not going to go to all that right now. But we just need to realize that patient obedience, simple, I made a little note here for you note takers. Simple obedience brings extraordinary results.
Amen. Amen.
Simple obedience can bring extraordinary results. Our problem is sometimes we seem to think, Lord, that's just too elementary.
Yeah.
That's just too simple. Lord, you just moving me to go to the altar? I've already been to the altar. Go again.
Yes.
I don't know, but can you just wonder maybe what the people of God was thinking about that third or fourth day? Here we go again. We just walked around this city yesterday. Here we go again, you know. Does the devil ever play games with your mind like that?
Amen.
I done went to the altar. I've already gotten anointed, you know. Well, if there's the Spirit of the Lord, do it again.
Amen.
I've already talked to that person about Jesus. I've already knocked on that door over there. I've already sang in the choir. I don't want to sing in the choir no more. If God's moving you, you better do it.
Amen.
If God's sending you, you better go.
Amen.
Simple obedience. So what happens here is that they're walking in victory, that they're walking in patient obedience as God instructed, even though it may not have seemed like it made a whole lot of sense at that time. But then the day comes, because of their patient obedience, that we see the mighty hand of God move.
Yeah.
So then I want you to think about what happens here. The Bible says in verse number 16, and it came to pass at the seventh time, when the priests blew with the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, shout, for the Lord hath given you the city. I heard a preacher message one time. It's something in the shout. I'll tell you something, it was something in the walk too.
Amen. Amen.
There was something in the walk as well.
Amen.
Listen, I like the shout. I believe in the shout. The shout was part of the commandment and the instructions that God has given, but the shout alone wouldn't have got them anywhere.
That's right.
They had to walk for a time and for a season in circles. And they had to be patient and obedient and wait on God. But then God moved, and I got highlighted here. The Bible says in the latter part of verse 16, this is what I want to kind of close with this point here. The Bible says, for the Lord hath given you the city. Know what's important for us as Christians to realize is that every day, every breath, every blessing, every service, it all comes from God.
Amen.
It all comes from God. Listen, we've accomplished something today just by being able to come and meet again in the house of the Lord. That's a blessing from the Lord. The Lord hath done that.
Amen.
So in this walk, not only do we walk in victory, not only do we walk in patient obedience, but we walk for the glory of God. And our response is this, is that we ought to be thankful. I'm talking truly thankful and humble and grateful just how good God is to us.
Amen. Amen.
Boy, God's good to us, isn't he?
Amen.
Didn't he wake us up this morning?
Yes. Praise the Lord.
There's nobody in here that went to your cabinets, I don't think, and you found it empty.
Come on.
I'm sure you probably went to your refrigerator and there was stuff in your refrigerator. You probably went to your coffee pot and there was coffee.
Come on.
You went to your closet and there was clothes.
Amen.
But most importantly, Jesus went to Calvary for me and for you.
Amen.
And paid a sin debt that you could not pay.
Amen.
I mean, he paid a sin debt that he didn't know.
That's right.
And that you and I could not pay.
Amen.
But he paid it. And he paid it in full.
Amen.
We ought to be thankful for that.
Amen.
In all honesty, and listen, I'm not trying to work up anything tonight, but in all honesty, every opportunity, every chance, every service, we ought to flood the altars in gratitude.
Amen.
We ought to pour our hearts out and let the tears flow. We ought to stand to our feet and lift our hands. We ought to clap. We ought to take laps as the Spirit moves us.
Amen.
We ought to sing the songs of praise.
Amen.
Because God has truly been good.
Amen.
To us. I'm saying this, when God moves in your life, when you see the extraordinary thing take place in your life, don't forget.
Amen.
Don't forget who done that.
Amen.
Don't even forget the simple blessings of who's brought us back here tonight.
Yeah.
Be thankful. You remember that passage in Luke, is it chapter 17, I believe, with the 10 leopards? They cried out to Jesus as he passed through Samaria, I believe it was. He was on his way to Jerusalem, and he passed through there. And there was 10 leopards, and they cried out to the Lord. And Jesus told them to go show yourself to the priest. And as they went, the Bible says that they were cleansed.
Yeah. Come on.
How many came back to give them thanks? Just one. Just one. You know what the Lord said? He says, thy faith hath made thee whole.
Yeah.
Just take note of this. As the musicians come, we get an invitation tonight. All 10 of them was cleansed. Only one was made whole. Now you can take that as the Lord puts it into your heart and mind, what that really means. You may be here tonight and you may be saved. You may have a relationship, but how strong is your fellowship? You may be here tonight and God has done something for you, or God is doing something for you. Don't take him for granted. Man, we are so quick to ask and to ask and to ask and to ask again and again and again. Let me tell you something. He is so merciful,
amen,
good and long-suffering to give and to give and to give and to give. I don't know about anybody else. Maybe this here message was for me tonight. But how much time do I take to show gratitude and thanks? I'm guilty of just asking and asking and asking. I'm telling you tonight, if you don't do anything else, if you don't ever do anything else, he's already done enough. He's already done enough. He suffered the most severe beating that any man could ever imagine. Bruised and broken. Stretched between the heavens and the earth. The angels had to stand down. The Father had to turn his back. And there he gave up the ghost and died for me and for you. But rose on the third day to give us a lively hope. What has God done for you lately? If you're able, can we stand together as they begin to sing?